disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Skipping down to verse 5, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to come into your house. Lord, I thank you that you had compassion on us, Lord, and you sent laborers to bring the gospel to us. And then, Lord, you invited us to join you in what you're doing, both here where you've located us and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus and his disciples have already been busy. Verse number 35 says they went about all the cities and villages. They're doing a lot of moving around. They're teaching. They're preaching in the synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus is very busy.
Yes.
He's busy about meeting people's needs. He's busy about getting them the gospel of the kingdom. He's busy about taking care of their all of the stuff that comes up in life. All of those sicknesses and diseases that we pick up. Our family, I think, is finally shed of the one we got several weeks ago. The coughing's finally died down. But Jesus was already dealing with their needs. And after that, it says, but he's busy. But when he saw the multitudes,
yep.
He was moved with compassion.
Amen.
Now, didn't Jesus know the multitudes before they got there?
Yes.
He absolutely did. He's God. Didn't he know who would be there? He knew their needs. But the scripture says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. To me, that says that the sight of the eyes has an impact on the heart.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
All too often, we go through life and we see the people that we're dealing with, but we don't see them. We see somebody who's providing us a service. We see somebody who's maybe we're providing a service to. So maybe they're somebody that's employed us or somebody that we work with. But we don't see them for people. Mm-hmm. Because every single person that you come across is an eternal soul that will spend eternity somewhere.
Yep.
Until you see them as souls, God can't use that vision to change your heart.
Right.
When he saw the multitudes,
he
was moved with compassion. Now, the word compassion in the English dictionary I looked it up in says a suffering with another, painful sympathy or pity. But if you look up the word compassion in the scripture, it doesn't ever say compassion is and then give a definition. But every time it's used, well, almost every time it's used, it is coupled with an attempt to relieve the suffering.
Right.
Compassion is not just a feeling that feels sorry for someone and then goes off and leaves them alone. Compassion is a feeling that causes us to try to relieve the suffering. Jesus saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. Why would he have compassion on them? And there's a bunch of people and they're here listening to the gospel, which is a great thing. But then he goes on to describe why they would need his compassion. He said, because they fainted. Mm. Why would somebody faint? They've used up their strength. Do you know, at one point, I was a good boy who had made a false profession of faith twice, and I was in an independent Baptist church, and I was doing all of the stuff that you do in an independent Baptist church. I was going on visitation, I was working the bus route, I was doing everything you could do, and every time God would come knocking on my heart and say, "Matthew," I would say, "Oh, he must want me to do something else." So I'd add something else to my pile of things to do.
Yeah.
Do Do you know you can't do enough to please God?
Right.
Amen. Come on.
Because it's not works that please God.
Right.
Right.
It's good. It's good.
It's faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Well, I was a good man, and I was getting near the end of my strength. My stress level, every time I added something else to my list of to-do, my stress level rose. I didn't recognize it at the time. But I was trying to accomplish the work of the Spirit and the strength of the flesh. Let me tell you, it can't be done.
Right.
You may think you're a lot better than me. You may get further than I did. But you will reach a point at which your strength will fail.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And you will faint. Jesus looked at the multitudes, and He didn't just see people. He saw people who were at the end of their strength.
Right. Yeah.
He saw people who were trying everything they could to get the answer to life, and they were coming to the right place. But they still needed to decide to follow Christ, make Him their shepherd. These people fainted, and then He said they were scattered abroad. What happens when you don't have a leader? You may all be trying to do the same thing, but if nobody decides how it has to be done,
yeah,
right,
there is no kind of ability to work together.
Right.
Everybody does their own thing. Now, I used to think there was one right way to do anything. I don't think that anymore, unless the Scripture defines it. If the Scripture defines it, that's the right way to do it. If the Scripture doesn't define it, there are any number of ways that it could be done. Some of them work better than others. Some of them are better in one circumstance than others. But the important thing is that we all do it the same way. And that's why God put authority in place.
Yeah.
Not because their idea is the best, but because you all need to work together.
Yeah.
And so if you think you have a better idea than the one that's in authority, don't try to go do your own thing. Because you'll just distract from what God's trying to do.
Right.
You go to the authority, and if you want to talk to the person that's in authority and let him know what your idea is, and then just accept his judgment. If he decides he wants to change to your idea, that's great. If not, we keep doing it his way, and everybody works together.
Amen.
Saw a demonstration one time about a fisherman, and he had a stringer that they put the fish on. And he caught the first fish, and he brought it in, he put it on the stringer, and he was getting pulled really hard. And he caught the second fish and put it on the stringer, and it wasn't quite as hard, and he put the third fish on there. And by the time he got the fifth fish on there, there wasn't any pull at all. And then they went and looked at the fish, and they were all pulling against each other instead of trying to get off the stringer. If they'd all pulled together, that fisherman had been in trouble.
Because
they were working together.
That's right.
Jesus looked at the multitude and said, they're scattered abroad. They have no leadership. And then he said, scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Has anyone in here worked with sheep before? I have not worked with sheep. You've worked with sheep a little bit?
A little bit.
You can tell me maybe if some of the information I've been given is accurate or not. Sheep are not smart animals. Sheep will all wander their own way if there's no shepherd. Sheep will eat whatever is before them.
Yeah.
So if you have a field that the sheep are in, and there are things in that field that are not good for them, what does the shepherd need to do first? The shepherd goes through and he pulls out the stuff that's not good for the sheep so that he can keep the sheep away from it.
Yeah.
Because the sheep will eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
At least it'll try.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people get caught up by the things that are in our lives. Roots of bitterness. Mm. They get into, they start eating on that, and it poisons them.
Right.
Maybe they get into some false doctrine here, and that poisons them.
Yeah.
Sheep will get into and be damaged by whatever they can get their hands on. If there's no shepherd, there's no one to protect the sheep.
Right.
From whatever they're going to eat. And the water that the sheep have to drink in order to stay healthy, it needs to be calm, clear water.
Right.
But left to themselves, they'll drink whatever's available.
Right.
Sometimes it's dirty water, and it'll make them sick. And sheep also have this thing, their wool grows, and with no shepherd, the wool's going to get heavier and heavier and heavier. At some point, the sheep's going to fall over.
Yeah.
You know what happens to a sheep when it falls over? If there's no shepherd, it stays there.
Right.
And it dies there.
Yes.
Because the sheep can't get back up. Jesus looked at the multitude. He said that they're at the end of their strength. They're all going their own way. And they're headed for destruction because they don't have a shepherd to help them when they get in trouble. Do you know that God is looking at our lives? And he is the good shepherd.
Mm. Yes. Yep.
Those of you who know him have a shepherd.
Yes.
You have someone that's watching over you. Those of you who don't know him, you're still like those sheep with no shepherd, and you're going to get in trouble.
Right.
You know, there was a reason why Adam's son was a shepherd.
Yeah.
So we would still have sheep. Because sheep left to themselves are going to die.
Yeah.
They really don't have any protection.
Right.
They really don't have any smarts, wisdom to keep them out of trouble. Jesus looked at the multitude. He was moved with compassion because they were a sheep having no shepherd. And his compassion moved him to do something about it. What did he choose to do? At this point, he did not immediately tell his disciples, "I want you to go be shepherds out in the sheep." That happens in a few verses. But he had something else to do first. He set the vision for his disciples and he said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into his harvest."
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did not say, "Pray to your Father." He could have. He did not say, "Pray to God." He could have. It would have fit. He said to pray to the Lord of the harvest. You know what that means? First off, it means it's his harvest.
Yeah.
He's the one that gets all the glory.
Amen.
He's the one that gets the benefit. Amen. He's the one that the laborers are working for. But you know what else that means? Paul is talking over in one of his epistles and he says, "Who goeth any time to war at his own charges?" You know, it's the Lord of the harvest who's invested in seeing the harvest come
sure.
in.
Yeah, amen.
The Lord of the harvest is the one who pays for the laborers
yes.
to go out into the harvest. The Lord of the harvest is the one who makes it possible for the laborers to get their job done.
Yes.
He's the one that provides what's needed. It's his harvest. And he is invested in seeing laborers go out into his harvest. But he wants us to pray.
Yeah.
He wants us to have a part in the laborers being sent. I don't know if you found one, but I've not found another time in Scripture where Jesus gave a prayer request for his benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he taught us how to pray.
Right.
He taught us some of the things we should pray for our own benefit. But this is the only place in Scripture I see God giving a prayer request to his people for his benefit. He wants us to pray that God will send laborers into the harvest. So this is how this works. When you're out doing your daily transactions, say you go to the bank and you get to the window, you see a teller on the other side. Well, he's not just a teller, he's a person.
Yeah.
He's a soul.
Yeah. Amen.
In need of a shepherd. And God says, "I want you to say something to this guy." You know, it can be awfully scary. First thing we should do is, "Lord, send someone to bring the message."
Yeah.
"Lord, send a laborer."
Yes.
And it may be that God plans to send somebody later. Or it may be, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest is the last verse in this chapter. Guess what the first verse of the next chapter starts with? And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. You see, the chapter differences weren't in the scripture initially.
Right.
He prayed the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Then he called 12 disciples together. And in verse number 5, it said, these 12 Jesus sent forth. We're supposed to pray for laborers, but we need to be willing to be the first answer to our prayer.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
When you ask God to send a laborer, be listening for if he wants to send you.
Amen.
Because he very well may.
Yes.
And that may not be every time.
Right.
There may be some times that God lets you see a need just so you can pray. And he's got somebody else planned to cross that path at a time when that person's willing to listen. You know, the prayer recently, somebody got a promotion. And we pray not that God would do them harm, but that the goodness of God would lead them to repentance.
Yeah, sure.
Pray that God will send a laborer by, maybe if you're not able to be the messenger, you can still be the prayer warrior.
Yes, amen.
You can still ask that God would reach them with the gospel.
Amen.
See people for who they are. Pray that God will meet their need. And then be willing to be the first answer to your prayer. Now, in James chapter 1, the scripture tells us something else that's very important whenever you're ready to be that first answer to your prayer. You know, the scripture told, or Jesus told his disciples that when they got called before judges, not to think ahead of time what they would say, but that the Spirit would give them utterance in that time, give them the answer. That didn't mean they weren't supposed to study the scriptures.
Right.
They were supposed to study the scriptures, be as familiar with them as possible.
Yes. Amen.
But they didn't know what the judge was thinking.
Right.
They didn't know what was going through his head. Do you know that the wisdom of man is foolishness with God?
Yes, amen.
That without him, we can do nothing.
Amen.
But in James chapter 1, James is writing to the Christians, and he says, guys, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. That means he's very generous. And he upbraideth not. That means he doesn't scold you for asking.
Right. Yeah, amen.
God doesn't call you dumb. He knows where we stand. He knows we're sheep.
Amen.
And he's glad that we asked.
Yep.
Yes.
But he goes on to say, and it shall be given to him. God promised that if we'd ask for wisdom, believing he would give it to us, that he will.
Amen.
Do you know that person that God moved your heart to say, they need the gospel? You can pray, God, send a laborer. God says, okay, this is your turn. And you say, oh, Lord, help. Because I need wisdom.
Right. Yep.
You know, we always need wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Right.
It doesn't matter how wise we think we are. We always need wisdom.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Because his wisdom will blow your mind. Our minds aren't big enough to comprehend what he's thinking. Because we have a God that knows it all. And you ask God for wisdom, and he gives liberally the wisdom that he needs, knows that you need right then to say what needs to be said.
Yes.
Don't be so proud to think you know all the answers.
Right.
I don't even think I know half the questions.
Right.
I don't think I'm anywhere close to half the questions. But he knows it all.
Yeah.
You know, in Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18, David said, how marvelous, how precious are the thoughts unto me. How great is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they are more in number than the sand. Mm.
Yeah.
You ever tried to count sand?
Yeah.
I mean, you know we're dealing with a tremendously large number.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, we decided we were going to count sand one day. My mom brought a cup full of sand home from the park. And she said, can you count all of the grains of sand in this cup? We looked in the cup and we said, oh, no, we can't come anywhere close. She said, I'm going to take a teaspoon of sand out of this cup. Can you count the grains on the teaspoon? We were a little bit concerned. We thought, I don't know. Okay. Mom gets the teaspoon. She pulls it up and we look at it. Oh, there's no chance. So she gets out a piece of black construction paper and lays it on the table underneath the teaspoon. She says, I'm going to bump the teaspoon and some sand will fall off. Can you count that? Oh, yeah, we got this. Then she bumped the teaspoon. And it didn't look like anything fell off the teaspoon. It was not affected in the least.
Yeah.
And we looked at the paper.
Yeah.
What we had was a star field.
Right
of grains of sand.
Yeah.
That was innumerable.
Right.
Wow. That's good.
Wow. And the bump didn't touch the teaspoon.
Yeah.
Which didn't affect the cup, which had absolutely no impact on the playground we got it from. Let alone the beaches,
yeah.
Or the ocean floor,
yeah.
Or the Sahara Desert.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure,
right.
His thoughts
unto
you.
Yeah, amen.
That's good. Amen.
Are more
yes.
in number than the sand.
Amen.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
He's got all the wisdom we need.
Yes.
Amen.
Because you know that person that you're trying to reach, his thoughts unto them are the same.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
God wants to see them saved.
Amen.
And brought into his kingdom, and he knows everything about them.
Yes. Amen.
And he knows exactly what you need to say to make an impact on their life. But if we don't ask for wisdom, then we're left trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Without him, we can do nothing. But he can do anything.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir.
He is not limited.
No. Yeah.
Matthew chapter 28, when he gives his great commission, he starts out and comes to his disciples and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Most of the time I've heard that preached, they start with the go ye therefore and teach all nations. But the third word of that verse is therefore. Look back at verse number 18.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
You're not going in your own power.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
It's not because you have the ability that God sends you out.
Yes.
He said, I have all power.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now you can go be my messenger.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, Moses encountered the burning bush, and the bush is burning, and Moses comes up to see what's going on, and God tells him to take off his shoes. And very shortly thereafter, God tells Moses, I've heard my people's cries in Egypt. I'm going down to get them out.
Yes.
About three verses later, he says, Moses, you're going to Pharaoh. And about five verses after that, he says, you get to lead them out.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't tell Moses that he would provide the power to bring them out.
Right.
God already said he was getting them out.
Amen.
Moses got to tell Pharaoh.
Yes.
And then Moses got to lead the people. But God was the one providing the power.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Sure.
Because, you know, if he had sent Moses in Moses' own power.
Right.
They really wouldn't have gotten very far.
Right.
Right.
But that's not the way God works.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, that's when true. Peter sees Jesus walking on the water, and Peter says, wow, look at this miracle. I want in.
Yes.
Jesus says, come on. Did Peter have the ability to walk on water before Jesus said, come on?
No.
No?
No.
But what other disciple walked on water?
Right.
Peter didn't right. have to have the ability to do it.
Right.
That's right.
Jesus said, do it.
Yes, amen.
Do you know when Jesus was at Lazarus' grave and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Before he said, Lazarus, come forth, did Lazarus have the ability to get up and walk out of the grave?
No.
Absolutely not.
Right.
His strength was gone.
That's right.
He was dead. He'd been dead for 4 days.
Right.
But when Jesus said, come forth, he provided the power that was necessary to obey his word.
Yes.
That's good.
That's good.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So when you see the multitude,
yeah, that's good.
Let it move you.
Yes, sir.
With compassion
yes,
on
sir.
Them.
That's good.
Because they're sheep. And if they have no shepherd, they're in trouble. Because sheep without a shepherd are in trouble. We need a shepherd. Then ask God to send them a witness and be willing to be the witness. And if God says, speak, say, Lord, tell me what you want them to hear. You may not think it's related at all to what you would think of as necessary to present the gospel. But God's planting a seed. Or maybe he's watering a seed that was planted earlier that we didn't know about. He's the one that brings the increase. See the need. Pray that the Lord of the harvest, who cares more about the harvest coming in than we do, will send a laborer.
Yes, sir.
Be willing to be the laborer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But depend on his power, not yours.
Amen.
Amen.
Depend on his wisdom, not yours.
Yes.
Because his Holy Spirit knows exactly what is needed.
Yeah. Amen.
And allow God to work in the lives of the people that you talk to.
Amen. That's good.
See the need. Pray that God will meet it. And be willing to be the first answer to your prayer. Then keep praying that God will send more laborers. Because there's always room for laborers.
Amen.
But be willing to answer the call.
That's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Kelly.
Amen.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
That's a good challenge.